Hello, homeschool moms. Welcome to the workshop, Endurance for the Homeschool Journey. And boy, do we need endurance, don't we, in this journey of homeschooling our kids? Because homeschooling is not just a little stroll through the park. It is a long journey. It's not just a little race, it's a marathon. And we need to have endurance so that we can make it to the end and make it to the end successfully. We don't want to burn out and give up and throw in the towel in the middle of this amazing journey that God's called us to. But how do we have endurance for the homeschool journey? Well, that's what we're going to talk about in this workshop. Before we jump in, I just want to share a personal story. Throughout my now 16 years of homeschooling, there have been many days and years where I have said to my husband, you know, I don't know if I can homeschool our kids anymore, right? You've probably said that too. And usually what I mean by that is that it was just a really terrible, horrible, difficult day. And I'm just letting my husband know it was a difficult day. But I know in my heart of hearts that tomorrow I will get up and I will homeschool my kids again. But there was a particular year where at the end of the year, I told my husband that I was done with homeschooling and I really meant it. And he knew that I meant it because he had walked with me through this pretty challenging year of homeschooling. And so when I said I'm done homeschooling, he knew that I really meant that I was done homeschooling. And by God's grace, the Lord encouraged me and showed me and taught me a few things so that I could now carry on and continue homeschooling my kids. But it was a really difficult place to be in because I was so burnt out. I had tried every single practical solution and organizational system and schedule and routine that I possibly could. Nothing seemed to be working. I seemed to be failing at it. I was burnt out and I could not do it another year. See, the first thing that I did in the beginning of that school year that was so tough was I tried to find practical solutions and then I put them into place, but they weren't making that big of a difference throughout the year. So then the next thing I did was look to my mission statement, right? Because I remembered going to all those homeschool conferences and they said that I should have a mission statement that I could look back on in times of discouragement. So I went back to my mission statement and I read it. And this is our mission statement. This is our goal for homeschooling. Our goal is to raise and educate children who love the Lord with all their hearts and minds, who are equipped to defend their faith, and who are dedicated to using the gifts and talents God has given them to serve and bless others for the glory of God. Now, this did encourage me a little bit because it gave me a little bigger picture of my goals for homeschooling. It reminded me that it wasn't just about academics, but about discipleship, which is the training of the hearts and the minds of my children for the glory of God. But I was still overwhelmed and I was still so discouraged. So I remember that I was continually asking God for wisdom. Throughout the year, I had been asking God to help me in each moment of the day. But by the end of the year, I was really pleading with God to give me wisdom on how to homeschool. And while he did give me encouragement in the day-to-day circumstances of homeschooling, by the end of the year, I could not continue on. It was too overwhelming, too exhausting. The practical tips were not working. Our homeschool mission statement seemed pointless. I knew the focus should be on their hearts, but I'm going to be honest, I didn't even have time or the energy to invest in heart training, let alone academics, because I was so overwhelmed and so discouraged. My perspective on my situation was limited, and my focus continued to be on my circumstances. My perspective was limited because it was my perspective instead of God's. My focus was on my circumstances instead of focusing on God. I want to share with you a little analogy real quickly. Imagine that you're a photographer and you're taking a close-up of a flower and you're seeing all the details and all the imperfections of that flower. The petals are falling off, the leaves have been eaten by bugs, parts of the flower are turning brown and it's starting to wilt. But then as the photographer, you step back and you get a bigger picture of the flower in a field of flowers, and you see all those other flowers, and your focus is no longer on the imperfections of that one particular flower, because you're gazing at the beauty of this field of flowers before you. You can still see the flowers and you can still see the imperfections a little bit, but it's not your focus. It doesn't consume you because you have the beauty of this entire field to focus on now instead. Now imagine as a photographer, you step back even more. You climb up on top of a high mountain and you take a picture of the valley below. It includes that field of flowers that one flower was in, but we can't even pick it out anymore. Can't pick out individual flowers anymore because we see this huge field of flowers and we see a farmhouse and barns and fields of wheat and apple orchards and acres of other crops, and it's just so beautiful. Well, that imperfect flower represents our focus on the struggles of homeschooling. We spend so much time focused on the things going wrong and so much time trying to fix them that we miss the beauty of the flower field. Then we try to focus on the flower field, right? That's our mission statement. We're stepping back. We're trying to get a bigger picture of why we're homeschooling. And we gain a new perspective and we're able to deal with a few more challenges. But guess what? We still get discouraged, right? Because we can still see that flower and all the imperfections. We can still pick it out. So what do? Well, we try to get an even bigger perspective, like the picture of the valley from the mountaintop. We ask God for wisdom in each moment as we homeschool. And the imperfections and the struggles of homeschooling don't consume us as much anymore. But even that is not going to give us the endurance that we need. And here's why. I love this quote from Jerry Bridges in his book, The Joy of Fearing God. He says, quote, God's wisdom is infinite. Ours is finite. This absolute difference is one that I think we fail to grasp. We tend to assume that we could understand if God would just explain. We don't really believe that his understanding no one can fathom. End quote. Do we understand that even on that mountaintop, when we are asking God for wisdom in these tough homeschool moments, while he does reveal truth to us and he does encourage us, we are still so limited in our understanding. We cannot understand. We can't fathom the mind of God and what he is doing. Our focus is still on our circumstances. Our perspective is still limited, but God's is infinite. God's perspective is not even on that mountaintop. God's perspective isn't even from a satellite view. God's wisdom is infinite. It's beyond the satellite image. If you send a satellite to the outermost of the universe, where Earth is but a speck in the midst of all the planets and stars and galaxies, God's wisdom is even greater than that. So you see, I was losing my endurance because my perspective was limited and my focus was still on my circumstances. My perspective was limited because it was my perspective and not God's. My focus was on my circumstances instead of focusing on God. So we have to ask the question, where do we get our encouragement? Homeschooling is a long journey. It's a long race to be run, and the day-to-day challenges can be absolutely exhausting and overwhelming. So where do we get the endurance for just that hour that we are struggling to get our child to focus? Where do we get the endurance for that day when the little one is crying and climbing bookshelves and throwing toys, and at the end of the day you realize that you pretty much have gotten no homeschoolwork done, your house is a disaster, and you are having peanut butter and jelly for dinner? Where do we get the endurance in the long weeks and the long months and the long years of homeschooling? Now, really quickly, I have to say, there are blessings and joys in homeschooling. So don't get me wrong. If you're new to homeschooling, don't think, oh my goodness, this homeschooling thing is going to be so overwhelming. I can't do this. No, there is blessings and joy along the way. But we also have to acknowledge and face the reality that homeschooling is challenging. So where do we find that endurance? I want to encourage you that we need to change the order of our focus. See, we start our focus on the practical, the curriculum, the homeschool organization, the schedules, the routines, the checklist. And then when that doesn't work, we go to our homeschool mission statement for encouragement and a bigger picture. But we need to start with a different focus altogether. So in this workshop, I want to share with you where our focus needs to be and the order it needs to be in. Now, let me list them here, and then we will dive in deeper to what each one means. So number one, we need to focus on who God is. Number two, focus on who we are in light of who God is. Then we can focus on where our hope ultimately lies. Number four, we can focus on the bigger picture of homeschooling, which is our mission statement. And five, we can get to focusing on the practical. Do you see how this is flipped from our natural tendency to do things, right? We start with the practical, but instead we need to start with focus on God. All right, so first we need to focus on who God is. God is unchanging. Though our circumstances change, our emotions change, our desires to homeschool change, God never changes. And this should be an encouragement to us. We need to gaze on the greatness of God. There's another quote from The Joy of Fearing God that I want to share with you. It says this, quote, "In all of our meditation on God's greatness and grandeur, we should remember that when we have strained our faculties to the utmost, we are still an immeasurable distance from the reality of who He is. He is truly an infinitely awesome God," end quote. So we could meditate on the greatness of God for all eternity because His greatness is infinite. Isn't that crazy to think about? For all eternity, we are going to be learning more and more about the character of God and His greatness because it's infinite. It's without end. So when we're facing challenges of any kind, whether with our children, our marriages, our health, we need to first turn our gaze on the Lord, not on what He can do for us, but on the greatness of who He is. It is only when we recognize and acknowledge His greatness that we can truly appreciate all that He has already done for us. He has called us out of darkness. He has rescued us from sin and provided a way for us to live for all eternity in His presence. No matter what challenges we are facing in our homes this week, we have a reason to be thankful for all that God has done for us. Focusing our attention on the character and greatness of God first allows us to get our hearts in the right place and allows us to get a truer perspective on our circumstances. Next, we need to focus on who we are in light of who God is. So as I'm meditating on who God is, I may realize that He is holy. He's a holy God. That should make me realize who I am in light of who He is. God is a holy God and I am not. I'm sinful. That means I am more like my kids than I am like God. Wow, sometimes I have a hard time realizing that. I am more like my kids than I am like God. And that should really give me compassion for my kids. So when my son is disobeying me and is getting easily distracted and I'm getting frustrated with him, realizing who I am in light of who God is shows me that God is holy and I am sinful. I'm getting frustrated and angry with my children. I'm lacking compassion and patience and grace. When we are facing a challenge with homeschooling, we can stop and ask, God, who are you? Help me to focus on your greatness. You're holy and I'm not. I'm sinful like my kids. Forgive me for my impatience. Forgive me for my frustration. Forgive me for my lack of compassion. And would you give me those things, Lord? Give me patience. Give me compassion towards my kids. Then I can not only have the right heart and mind to homeschool my son, but it also gives me a bigger perspective to realize I was sinning and I need to repent and ask God for help in homeschooling. Perhaps I need to do that in front of my child. Maybe I need to say to my son, I know you're frustrated with school right now. Guess what? So am I. And I need to pray and ask God to forgive me because I have sinned in my attitude towards school today. I'm going to repent before the Lord and before you and ask God to forgive me and help me. And I'm going to pray for you as well. That lesson is more important than the lesson that we were getting frustrated over, to model for our children true repentance. Let me give you another example. If I first focus on the greatness of God, I might think on how God is full of compassion. Then I realize who I am in light of who God is. I am not full of compassion all the time. But in Christ and through the work of the Holy Spirit in my life, He will empower me to have compassion for my children. I say, God, you are a God of compassion, and I am not full of compassion right now. Forgive me for my lack of compassion. Holy Spirit, empower me to have compassion for my children. God, you are a God who is full of forgiveness. Right now, I'm holding a grudge and bitterness and angry at my kids. I am not a forgiving person in this moment. Forgive me, Lord. Give me a forgiving heart towards my kids. So first, we need to focus on who God is, and then that allows us to see who we are in light of who He is. And when we see ourselves in light of who God is, we realize how much we are like our children and how far we are from God. The good news is that if we are in Christ, then we have been given the Holy Spirit to be our helper and to empower us to do what God has called us to do, to not only homeschool our kids, but to homeschool our kids with compassion, love, patience, with all the fruits of the Spirit. We can't do that if we're just focused on our circumstances, though. We can't do that if we're just trying to find practical solutions. We get there by first focusing on who God is and then who we are in light of who God is. The next thing that we need to focus on is where our hope ultimately lies. This is so important, moms, because here's the thing. I always have a hopeful heart. My heart is always hoping in something. It's just not always hoping in the right thing. And maybe you can relate. I often misplace my hope in the things of this world. I often say things like, if only I could afford this curriculum, then homeschooling would be easier. If only I could find the best homeschool schedule, then homeschooling would run more smoothly. If only my kids' behavior improved, then I wouldn't be so burnt out. If only my husband helped me more, or the kids did more chores, or I discovered the perfect meal planning system. If only. Oh, I have a hopeful heart, but I'm placing my hope in all the wrong places. Now, God's word says in Psalm 38:15, "For in you, O Lord, I hope. You will hear, O Lord, my God." This verse does not say, "In the best curriculum, I hope." It doesn't say, "In the best homeschool schedule, I hope." It says, "In you, O Lord, I hope." Psalm 31:24 says, "Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all who hope in the Lord." What a great promise that if we place our hope in the Lord, he will strengthen our hearts. So where have you put your hope, moms? Have you placed your hope in God, or have you placed your hope in something else, like the best curriculum, or a better schedule, or a more organized home, or a special meal plan or routine? So often we can put our hope in the wrong place. Sometimes the challenges of other areas of our life even spill into our homeschools. Our difficult marriages, financial troubles, health issues, conflicts with family and friends, these all affect our daily lives and can spill into our homeschool days. So I want to ask you again, are you placing your hope in God or in something else? Now, there's a bigger question here that you might be wondering. You might be asking, Janelle, what does it actually mean to put our hope in God? We often think of hope as wishful thinking, right? Like, I hope my husband comes home safely tonight. But this is not biblical hope. I love how John Piper defines hope. He says this, quote, "Biblical hope is a confident expectation and desire for something good in the future. Biblical hope not only desires something good for the future, it expects it to happen," end quote. But what is that good that we can be confident will come to pass? What is that good that we are hoping in? That good is ultimately eternal life with Christ. That's our hope that one day we will be with the Father for all eternity. The trials of this life are real. The struggles of homeschooling our kids are real. But we have to remember that this life is but a blink of an eye compared to eternity with God. If we are in Christ, then God has given us all we need to endure life here on earth, and that includes homeschooling our kids. That doesn't mean that it's going to be easy, but we have to make sure that our hope is in the right place, that our hope is in the Lord and ultimately eternal life with Him. I don't know who's listening to this workshop. I'm not going to presume that everyone who is listening is a believer. So I'm going to pause here a moment and share what it means to be in Christ. For those of you who are believers, may this be a reminder of the hope that you have. So here's what it means to be in Christ. It means realizing that God created this world, that He created Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and it was perfect. But Adam and Eve chose to disobey God, and that brought sin into this world. And because of sin, we are separated from God. And because of our sinful nature, we now have the punishment of death. But the Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." God has always existed. One God in three persons. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. God the Father sent his Son down to earth. Jesus Christ has existed for all eternity, but when he was born in Bethlehem, he took on human flesh, and he lived a perfect life, and he died on the cross to pay the punishment for our sin, and he rose again on the third day. And if we believe, if we confess our sin, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's what the Bible says. If we believe that all this is true and we confess our sinfulness and acknowledge that we need a Savior, then not only does God forgive us of our sin in the past and the present and the future, but we also receive Christ's perfect record. When we stand before the Lord on Judgment Day, God will not see our sin, but rather the perfect record of Christ who never sinned. And God can say, "Welcome, good and faithful servant." Believing in God isn't just a ticket to heaven, though. Being in Christ means that here on earth, Jesus has sent us a helper in the Holy Spirit so that we can live as God has called us to live, so that we can homeschool our kids with joy, not because we can do it on our own, but because God working through us enables us to do it. Amen? Amen. That is what it means to be in Christ. But it doesn't just stop there. The trials of this life are real. The challenges of homeschooling are real. I know they are. I've experienced them in 16 years of homeschooling. I have experienced so many challenges, and they are so real. And sometimes eternity can seem so far off. God has allowed my family to go through so many challenges, and I knew that in all of that, I needed to keep my focus on God and to put my hope in the Lord. But eternal life with Christ seemed a little far off. And God brought me to a familiar verse in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. It says, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose." But how were the challenges in my life for good? How are the challenges in our homeschool for our good? Well, I love God's word because it answered the question for me. In the very next verse, it says, "For those he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son." See, that's my good, and that's your good. It's to become more like Christ. In the struggles of my life and in the struggles of homeschooling, my hope, my confident expectation, as John Piper would say, is in knowing that God is working in my life to conform me to the image of his Son. So when I face challenges in homeschooling, they are for my good. This is God's way of saying, "Janelle, you cannot do this in your own strength. Set your eyes on me. Focus on who you are in light of who I am so that you can repent of your sin and grow in becoming more like Christ. And then put your hope in me and not in worldly things." You know, when I do that, I become more and more like Christ, and that is my good. That is really the best thing for me. So these trials that we are facing, homeschool moms, instead of looking at them and being overwhelmed and saying, "God, why are you allowing this? Why, Lord, why?" Instead, we can praise God for using these circumstances to conform us to the image of Christ. And that is our ultimate good. Ladies, can I ask you a tough question here? Do you grow in Christ-likeness more when life is easy and you don't need to acknowledge God? Or when life is full of challenges and we must cry out to him and set our eyes on him? Might I suggest that God may be using the challenges that you're facing right now in your homeschool to conform you into the image of his Son? So where is my hope? My ultimate hope is an eternal life with Christ, but I also have the hope that God is working all things for my good here on earth so that I will daily be conformed to the image of Christ. We have focused on who God is. We focused on who we are in light of who God is. We focused on where our hope should lie, and that's in the Lord. Now I want to focus on the bigger picture of homeschooling, which is discipleship. Discipleship is the training of the hearts and the minds of our kids for the glory of the Lord. This is where it's good to have a homeschool mission statement. So this is a good time to think through, why are you homeschooling and what do you want to accomplish? Let me read my mission statement again as just an example to you. Our goal is to raise and educate children who love the Lord with all their hearts and minds, who are equipped to defend their faith, and who are dedicated to using the gifts and talents God has given them to serve and bless others for the glory of God. Now let me read the best mission statement of all, and that's found in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 5 through 7. You probably already know it, but let me read it for you. It says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up." God's word says that the most important thing that we can teach our children is to love the Lord their God with all their heart. But how can we teach that to them if we are not modeling that for them? We need to be homeschool moms that have our focus on who God is. We need to be homeschool moms who are continually remembering who we are in light of who God is and what He has done for us. We need to be putting our hope in the Lord, because that's the best thing that we can do, not only for ourselves, but for our children. We need to be modeling for our kids the importance of loving God with all of our hearts. I want to encourage you, moms, that the success of your homeschool is not determined by whether or not you completed all the schoolwork, but by whether or not you glorified the Lord in all that you did accomplish that day. Let me say that again. The success of your homeschool is not determined by whether or not you completed all the schoolwork, but by whether or not you glorified the Lord in all that you did accomplish that day. See, homeschooling is so much more than academics. It is the daily opportunity to show our children the greatness of God and to point them to the Savior. Now, the last thing that I want to touch on is to focus on the practical. Yes, we actually do need to focus on some practical things. Now, it's usually the first thing that we try to do, right? But it should be the very last thing that we do. But it's still important, even though it's last. God does call us to be good stewards of our time and the resources that He has given us. So we want to consider practical solutions for helping us in our homeschooling journey. So it's good to research curriculum and to find what is going to be the best curriculum for your family. But we also need to know that there is no perfect curriculum and that the curriculum is not going to save our children. We look for something that fits our family and fits our budget and fits our kids' learning styles. That is a good thing to do. And doing those things can make our homeschool days a little easier. But our hope cannot be in the curriculum. Our hope must be in the Lord. The curriculum can help, and God can use the curriculum to make our day go more smoothly, but our hope can't be in finding the perfect curriculum. Now, it's also good to find a good schedule or routine or rhythm for your homeschool days. That's making good use of the time that God has given you. He wants us to be good stewards of our time and to use the time that we have with our children to glorify Him. God says, whatever you do, whether you eat or drink, do it for the glory of God. So try to find a routine that fits well with your family. In a few months, though, know that you might have to find a new one. Now, it's also good to find practical ways to organize your homeschool supplies to make things easier to find. This is going to help you again, but it's not where our hope should be, right? We are never going to find the perfect homeschool organizational system. And even if we did, let's be honest, our kids would mess it up because that's the reality of life with children. So a good system can definitely save you time and sanity, but don't let your focus stay there. Make sure you're setting your eyes on the Lord first. It's also wise to find some home management systems that will help you to tackle the laundry or to get meals on the table. So I encourage you to read blogs, watch YouTube videos, talk to other homeschool moms and see what is working for them. Get different ideas and try to implement them and see if they work. But if they fail, moms, don't get discouraged. The success of our homeschool day is not determined by whether we got a three-course meal on the table that we made from scratch. The success of our day is not determined by whether all the laundry got washed and dried and folded and put away. The success is in whatever we did accomplish. Did we do it for the glory of the Lord? And did we do it with joy and thankfulness? Let me repeat that again. Our success is in whatever we did accomplish. Did we do it for the glory of God? Did we do it with joy and thankfulness? We need to make sure that our focus first is on who God is. Then we need to focus on who we are in light of who God is. We need to make sure that we are focusing on where our hope lies, and that should be in the Lord. Then we can focus on the bigger picture of homeschooling, which is discipleship. And then finally on the practical, so that we can be good stewards of the time and the resources that God has given us. But if we start with the practical, or we start with our homeschool mission statement, we are going to get discouraged. I know I did. But what turned it around for me? What gave me the endurance to continue homeschooling? Well, it was not picking the perfect curriculum, although finding a curriculum that fit my family and our situation did help. It was not in finding a good schedule. We have one that's working okay for us, but it's probably going to have to change. And it wasn't keeping my mind on the fact that homeschooling is about discipleship. That did not carry me through and give me endurance to continue on in my homeschooling journey for the long run. What gives me the endurance is setting my eyes on the Lord, remembering who I am in light of who God is, and letting God work in my life to make me more like Christ. It is putting my hope in the Lord. That is what gives me endurance in this homeschool journey. So can I close this workshop in prayer? Heavenly Father, you are infinitely great in all your attributes. You are full of love and kindness to us and our families. And I thank you for these homeschool moms who desire to homeschool their kids and to glorify you by training the hearts and the minds of their children for your glory. I pray that in the day-to-day of homeschooling, that we would not grow weary, but that our eyes would be on you, that our focus would be on our unchanging God and the greatness of who you are, that we would remember the great gift that you have given us through Jesus Christ, that our hope would be in you, Lord, not in curriculum, not in a schedule, but in you. May we allow you to grow us and change us and make us more like Christ. God, I pray for our children that as we homeschool them and try to speak truth in their lives, that your word would penetrate their hearts. We acknowledge that we cannot change the hearts of our kids. God, only you can do that. But let us as moms be willing tools used by you in the lives of our children. May our focus always be on you, Lord, the author and perfecter of our faith. Amen. I hope this workshop encouraged you. If you would like more homeschool resources, you can visit my website at JanelleKnutson.com.